I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It is hard. Lockdown is hard. And all I keep saying is these fucking idiots doing the conga in their street. Like, how come I'm missing my baby niece sitting up for the first time and there are fucking people doing the conga in Warrington? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I just wanted to start this week's podcast by saying a huge, huge thank you. The first episode came out last week of Vicky Patterson, The Secret to Surviving Love in Lockdown, and the response we received was amazing. I don't know if anyone knows it, but I've been working on a podcast for about 2 years now. and for one reason or another, it's just never came to fruition. I think mostly because I've just been super nervous. I've been working in TV for like 10 years, and that is a space that I understand, but podcasting, it's a new, scary, an overwhelming realm, and it already had so many exciting and successful ones in, so I just felt like, I don't know, I didn't think that anyone would listen to what I had to say or anyone would be bothered about me ranting for an hour. And the fact that our first podcast made the top 10 charts and got in to the number 5 in the comedy charts, just it proper made us feel so happy. I'm buzzing like an old fridge, to be honest. I'm just so thrilled that you guys liked it and you gave us your seal of approval. I got very emotional, so I just want to say a big thank you. I hope you liked last week's and I hope you're going to enjoy this week's. This week we are looking at dealing with the lows of lockdown. and we've got two wonderful guests. We've got Russell Kane, who is one of my all-time favourite comedians, and also my fantastic life coach, Bill. You might not know this, but I have got a life coach. I'm not a wanker. I'm just one of these people who believes that you need to talk about your feelings and sort of have someone there to guide you sometimes, I think. And I've been really selfish and kept them all to myself for a while, but I think it's about time I shared these pearls of wisdom. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I am just riding this corona coaster of emotions and holding on for dear life. Like, I'm just taking every day as it comes. So some days I wake up and I'm full of energy and I'm taking everything in my stride. Literally blitz the flat, clean the skirt and boards with an earbud, learn to bake banana bread, sit down, do a TikTok, speak to all of my friends, I'm winning. And the next day, I'm ugly crying into a bottle of wine before 12 o'clock because I miss people that I don't even really like. One half of us is like, Vicky, relax, it's balance. And the other part of us is like, you're on the verge of a mental breakdown. And I just want to know that I'm not on my own, that everyone else is experiencing these ups and downs. But you wouldn't think they were if you look on social media. And I suppose that brings us to like my secret to surviving the lows of lockdown. Someone once told me ages ago that comparison is the thief of joy. And I never really understood what they meant until now. And it resonates with me so much at the moment. The thing is, like, people aren't posting their tough moments on Instagram. They're only posting their wins. So they might be having rows with their fella. They might be crying because they've gained the COVID 10 pounds. They might be stressed out and sick of their kids and hiding in the cupboard with a bottle of wine. But all they're posting is their good moments. So stop comparing yourself to Sandra and our green juice and our Zoom call with our pals and our giving birth to avocados on Instagram and just focus on you. And if you are having a good day, that's amazing. But if you are having a bad day, that's fine, because I bet you there are other people having them too. And I'm just telling you that I'm having them as well. So yeah, that's how I'm dealing with the lows. Just focus on you and don't compare yourself to anyone else. What we are going through at the moment, it's like nothing none of we've ever known before, and there's completely no rule book on how to deal with it right. Some days I literally don't want to get out of bed. I just feel so down, so blue. There's no other word for it. Like, I'm sad. I miss my mum and my sister so much, and I'm so pissed off that I'm missing all these fucking adorable little milestones that my brand new niece is going through. She sat up for the first time the other day. Like, God knows when I'm next going to be able to see her. She'll be doing her GCSEs or something before I next see her. And I miss my granddad, and I'm scared for everybody, and I'm worried about the NHS. And Erkan is an adorable man, but God, it's wearing thin in this two-bedroom flat. It is hard. It is hard. Lockdown is hard. And all I keep seeing is these fucking idiots doing the conga in their street. Like, how come I'm missing my baby niece sitting up for the first time, and there are fucking people doing the conga in Warrington? Just come on. It is so stressful and hard at the moment. And I can't be the only person who is feeling like this, who is experiencing these lows. So please, if you are in the same boat as me, I feel better just after saying that to you. I feel better for getting it off my chest. So I encourage you all, I implore you all, share your feelings, share your frustrations, talk about how you're doing. Because we are, as cheesy as it sounds, all in this together. So now it's time to introduce my old friend, the wonderful, the hilarious Russell Kane. Welcome, buddy.
How are you doing? What's going on?
I'm all right, thank you. I actually feel like this is a real shame that we're doing a podcast today and no one can see you, because not only are you in a super fucking fancy room, you also look really fit today, Russell.
Yeah. Well, before doing this, I knew you were coming on, so I got a bit of a fucking pump on. Get 100 curls and that. I've got more guns than the fucking British Army.
For anyone who didn't know, Russell does one of the best and most offensive impressions of me ever.
Fucking spelling, Gary.
I've actually known you for so long now.
I know, it's embarrassing really, isn't it? Let's pretend it's 5 years, then we'll both seem younger.
Well, I mean, you look like a fetus right now. You look so good. Lockdown's obviously doing you well. I can't cope. I'm like a wrinkled old raisin with anxiety, but you look
nonsense.
Fresh.
Nonsense. Well, my number one tip that I've been giving to all the girls, and I've got the mother-in-law on it and the wife, you can make it at home. People waste so much money on expensive skin products and stuff, but the best result I've ever had, face mask-wise, it's not going to be something rude, don't worry.
I was do we want to hear this?
It only works with two at once. No, it's
sounds like a good Saturday.
Raw honey. Raw honey, tablespoon of that, bit of aloe vera, a little bit of lavender. There's so many bugs and amazing stuff in raw honey. I know I sound like some fake-ass homeopath, but besides...
You sound like Gwyneth Paltrow, if I'm honest.
Trust me, exfoliate, put some raw honey on your face for 15 minutes. You will be glowing.
No way. So what, like direct from the bees?
You buy raw, unprocessed, unfiltered honey. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it in the supermarkets, some supermarkets, but you'll get some online. And then you can put it on toast and eat it, of course, and it's good for your throat and your digestive system. You can put it in like a pot, mix up with a little bit of aloe vera, makes a face mask. Trust me, honestly, I never had so many skin compliments. It's the cheapest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
I mean, I'm trying really hard not to say you've changed, Russell, but this is like not what I was expecting from you today.
Well, I haven't. I haven't. I'm from Essex. If anything, I've toned it down.
Okay. I wanted to work out whereabouts you are on this Corona coaster that we're all riding at the moment. So I've devised a little quiz. Would you like to take part?
Yes, please. Let's do it.
Question number one. Have you watched Tiger King?
Yes, I have watched Tiger King, and I've caught up on the Louis Theroux one as well afterwards, just to see, because on iPlayer at the moment, there's Louis Theroux interviewing the Tiger King from 2011. So that's a good thing to watch afterwards. I was so inspired by Tiger King that I've adopted a new kitten, which I will, you know. One thing you know when you get me, I bring the pussy. So by the end of the... By the end of this, I will show you Terry, my new Burmese cat, and I've been clicker training him. So I've felt like a sort of miniature tiger with my new cat. It's really helped saying... with everything we're going to talk about. I know, like, not everyone's in a position to adopt a pet or to even own a pet, or what, depending on what space they're living in. But my God, it's definitely got me through. There's something about cats and dogs, if they just keep your head straight, because no matter how much of a bad day you're having, they don't speak English, they don't speak human, but you have a relationship with them that's sort of comforting, and it's just something about it. You know, when you just never normally want to kill a pet who you can sort of go out and just have
unless you're Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Or Ted Bundy warming up.
just really getting fired up. I was talking the other day about you, and I didn't have you pegged as a cat person.
I'm cat and dog. I'm bipetual, definitely. I've got a pug called Colin and a kitten called Terry. I've had cats since I moved out. I moved out at 22, 25 properly, and I've always kept, no matter how manic my life has been, when I've been working all day, doing gigs at night, I've always had at least cats. I couldn't live without animal company. I couldn't.
Do you find it really soothing?
Yeah. Well, it's a medical fact. It can lower the stress. 10 minutes of, that sounds so rude, 10 minutes of stroking a cat each day can lower. It does lower your stress. It just does. You see, when people come in, unless they're not cat people, you sort of chill straight away. You know what it is.
I always thought, like, dogs, don't get us wrong, like, there's an unbridled sense of loyalty. They're so happy to see you. They see you as the master. They're subservient. But with cats, I always kind of felt like they think they're doing us a favour by being in our presence.
What people don't realise is you have to train a cat just like you train a dog. So a lot of people think, oh, it's just a cat. What's the difference between a Burmese cat or a mixed breed cat or a Persian cat? Whereas it's as different as getting a Rottweiler or a Shih Tzu. They've all got different temperaments. And they also need to be socialised and trained. So you see a lot of people playing with kittens, and the kittens sort of clawing and biting the hand, playing around, and they think it's cute, but you've got to correct that. So if you bring it up and train it like a dog to be obedient with affection, it would be just the same. But my kitten's 4 months old. It already sits, high fives, all that stuff.
No way.
Yeah. I might do a demo for you.
I just couldn't handle with the judgment I feel like you get from a cat. Like, a dog's just like, super happy to see you. But I feel like a cat's like, it's fucking you again, is it? Like, yeah. I just feel like cats are too much. My anxiety would be through the roof.
And I've got a pug as well. So a pug is sort of an animal in between the two, really, because I've trained my pug to do like little tricks, like dance and do all this stuff. And it's more impressive than people give it credit for, because if you've got a Border Collie or a German Shepherd, I expect that fucker to be doing tricks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll work for free, mate. Keep your tricks. I'm just happy to be in a job. Whereas
he's got the,
like,
limbs for it, hasn't he?
You know what I mean? A pug's like, give me a whole steak and I might shit in the hallway as a compromise.
Next question. Have you baked anything?
Yes, I have.
What you baked?
I was reading the paper the other day, and there was an article in there with someone getting angry about who's bought all the yeast, because right at the beginning, when everyone thought bread was going to run out, everyone went out and bought fucking yeast, including people like my cousin. She'll be like, do you know what? I'm just going to buy yeast. Whose biggest culinary decision she ever made was, shall I have barbecue sauce or Chinese chicken dip without fucking drunk barbecue? Like, she never cooked bread in her life. What are you doing with yeast, Lauren? Absolutely nothing. She probably put some fucking canister into the loaf as well, just to be on the safe side.
So you tell us Lauren bought all the yeast.
Yeah, so yeast-free bread I looked up, and apparently soda bread, which is one of the nicest breads you can make, is so piss easy to make. Ooh. Just a bit of flour, a bit of baking soda, a bit of milk, squirt of lemon juice, a couple of other ingredients, bang, in the oven, delicious Irish-style bread 1 hour later.
Nice.
So I've been baking my soda bread and passing it around.
Oh, lovely. I found bacon proper soothing, really calming during this time. So I've been doing all sorts. I've been one of them knobheads who's done banana bread.
But did you bake before this, though?
Well, I did MasterChef, didn't I, last year?
Yeah.
So I kind of got the bug a little bit, but it's surprisingly... Yeah,
it was Salmonella the bug you got, wasn't it? You were chucked off the show.
No, I did fucking well. If it wasn't for Greg Rutherford, the ginger bastard, I would have won that.
I know. He's probably jealous he could get a tan, so he's chucked you off.
Oh, God, he gets a tan as well. He's just good at everything. But, yeah, I put my own little twist on it. I added raspberries as well, so I didn't feel quite like I was completely on the bandwagon. But,
that's difficult.
I'm one of those
baking with raspberries is difficult because the moisture comes out of them.
Correct, yeah. Well, with banana bread, God, this is really boring, everyone. I'm so sorry. It's meant to be a really moist loaf anyway, so it didn't really affect
it.
You know
what? That'd be a fucking wicked name for your next volume of memoir. Vicky Patterson, Moist Loaf.
I'll get that wrought up sharply. Next question. Have you done...
Do you know what? You should fucking do a cooking YouTube channel. It would be funny. But like get a little bit sambuca beforehand and be slightly aggressive when you're doing it. I would be viral as fuck. You have your fuck out of a shepherd's pie. Fucking raw bell end.
I honestly just don't feel like there'd be much cooking done. I did like a live at the weekend where I sort of made a cocktail, and like before I knew it, I went full Geordie Shore. Like that's a part of my life I've totally closed the chapter on. But I was like, the pressure got to us, and I reverted to what I suppose it must be my default setting, and I just started like nailing drinks and calling everyone bellends, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
The Northeast has got a similar thing to for my neck of the woods where I'm from. In Essex. I mean, I've got a degree in English, for Christ's sake, a first. Yeah, as soon as I've got two drinks in me, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, fucking look at the bangers on that. It's in the DNA.
It runs. Also
a corner of the country with the Northeast as well as Essex, massive stereotypes that seem to call me back to them when I've had a drink. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh, I can totally relate.
Like steroid injecting, fake tanning, speaking like a fucking moron. And yet, as soon as I've had two drinks, that's it. I'm orange and swearing like a navvy. It's pretty weird.
You've got a blue to blue KD in one hand.
Yeah.
And a bird in the other.
I think no matter what you've done with your life, no matter what you've achieved with your life, no matter where you've gone, when you've had a few drinks, you're sort of, my reset point is about 18, 19 years old, whatever that accent was, whatever that educational level was, you drop back to that, all the stuff you've built on top of it drifts away. That's why I'm a mess in Ibiza.
I think it's something that's just been ingrained in those years where you did most of your development. So maybe, like the minute I have a drink, like MasterChef, like progressing my career, winning the jungle, being 32, a better person, it all just goes out the window, and I just literally want to slut drop and smash. It's awful.
Exactly. It's just... cracking night though, isn't it?
But I mean, it's not good for the next day. The anxiety's just 10 times.
It wouldn't be good if you're on the dance floor going, look at the air in that fucking butter.
Oh, look at my moist loaf.
Yeah.
Actually, that works for both. That's one of the...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Have you, Russell, done an online exercise class? Looking at them guns, it feels like it's all you've been doing in lockdown.
I'm a late bloomer. I got this weird phobia, which is why I've never been to a gym in my life. I mean, obviously I've been once or twice just to try it. I can't go in gyms. I just can't use them. And I don't know if it's a phobia or being a stand-up. We're so self-conscious and self-analyzing the whole time. But I can't exercise if someone's watching me at all. Even Lindsay, my other half, if she can see through a gap in the door and I'm doing the exercise, I can't finish the exercise. I have to be completely unobserved because I feel like, you know, that last rep where you need to go, I can't do that if someone's watching. I just simply can't. So I've tried personal trainers, I've tried all of that, and they don't believe me. They just think I don't want to do the work. I'm like, you need to email me a PDF of what to do, trust that I'm doing it, and then 6 weeks, take my measurements, take my weight, but none of them will ever do it. So in the end, I joined a website called Athlean. It's an American one with Jeff Cavalier, and it's like a monthly training courses. I've converted the shed in my garden. I've got pull-up bars in there and weights, and I'm happy as anything then. And I have to have something interesting on. I can't work out to music. I have to be watching, you know, something that makes me laugh. Even if it's Britain's Got Talent, anything just on a screen so that I don't notice I'm doing exercise. That's my regime. So yeah, I'm not doing like Joe Wicks or anything, but I have joined this Athlean place and I love it. To be honest with you, that hour in the shed is my only fucking hour that I get to myself.
You've got a house room,
it used to be mine because I've got a 4-year-old daughter. This could be invaded at any moment, but the shed I'm allowed to have, which is quite generous really after paying for stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose you have filled this house with not that Mina's unnecessary. She's obviously great, but I mean, you filled it with Terry and Colin. Yeah. You've only got yourself to blame for having no space, really, mate.
I'm having one child though. Mina is, I'm telling you now, she's just, I've got, she's twins in one head. She's just a head spinning, attention junkie, high energy, mental bastard. But now and again, I just put some holy water on the forehead just to check. I know that's going to sizzle.
But she's going to be half you and half Lindsay, obviously. And no. I've met Lindsay, and she's so lovely. She's so down to earth. She's proper, like, northern lass. I've got so much time for her. Yeah, and you're like this, like Essex ball of energy. Like, what did you expect your child was going to be? Subdued, calm.
I know, it's the worst of both worlds, isn't it? She'll probably be attractive like Lindsay and an attention junkie like me. That ends on a pole. You know where to stick the notes, lads.
Oh, we can only know. You never know. She might go into stand-up like a dad.
We're trying to, because of what, not because I'm this morally superior person and everyone does what they think is right for their kids, okay? Regardless of what I say on stage, I'm only ever messing around. But for me personally, I'm trying to keep her fake. Like, you can't get a picture of my daughter. So far, 5 years, you cannot see what she, it's impossible for anyone to find out what she looks like unless they actually stalk my house. I've just kept her face offline because I want her to understand the implications of that step before she takes it. Now, I might only make 11, 12, 13, 14 years old before she takes that step, but at the moment, she's too young to understand if I'm doing, like, here's funny selfies, here's my daughter for likes. For me, it's just not a step I'm willing to take because of what I do. At the moment, everything's great, you know. All I've got to do is go through a speeding light or park in the wrong place or not be social distancing, and then I'll be on the front of the Daily Mail with an aubergine in my mouth and my life will be over. And Lindsay and her are part of that. Lindsay's very much doesn't like being in front of the camera. Yes, you can find some red carpet events where she stood next to me, but other than that, you won't, she hates it. She's the total opposite to me.
But that's perfectly, like, understandable, wanting to be protective of her, because I think there's arguments for and against. Like, I understand if it was someone like me who's lived our life essentially in front of the camera, I think people would feel robbed if I had a baby or a child and they didn't get to know them almost like intimately. But for you, like, it's totally different, and you've got every right to protect that. I mean, fair play. Yeah, I think it's a really sensible move.
I think I'm just being cautious, if you know what I mean. I just want, you know, the way, like, we've grown up now and the way we think about, I don't know, sugar and cigarettes and all the things that our parents didn't understand properly, and they were fucking, like, smoking in the lounge and filling us full of Freddos and stuff because they didn't know any better.
Good times.
There's this nagging thing at the back of my brain. What if social media and digital exposure is that in 20 years' time? And we have a generation of kids going, I don't care if you didn't know any better, Mum. You fucked my life up. And you'll get kids to it. I mean, I'm probably being totally over the top, but it just feels like something that is on the cards as something that we think's perfectly fine now, but turns out to be, well, you'll know what this social media world and this exposure world is like. Oh, there's something toxic about it in too much self-reflection. So you just think, you know, what if? So I'm just playing it cautious, but, you know, she'll probably be on Instagram by the time she's seven. So I don't know why I'm bothered.
Have like a really successful YouTube account reviewing toys.
Probably.
No, but I think there's a lot of gravity in what you're saying. Like, we are the guinea pig generation for social media. And I know myself at times, my relationship with it is really unhealthy. And I've spotted patterns that I don't like in myself. And I've spotted characteristics starting to pop up. Like, the first thing I do in the morning, for example, is check my social media, not my WhatsApp. I'm not making sure my mum's all right. I'm not seeing how my brand new niece is. I'm not checking up on current affairs, Russell. I am going to see how many likes my last picture got.
It's honest of you to say that. I mean, sometimes I don't even switch. You know, the alarm goes off and I roll over out of airplane mode and boom, onto Instagram. I was like, did that just fucking happen? Grow up, granddad. Like, what am I doing? Do you know what I mean? It is fucking pathetic, really.
But it's got to hold it.
In my
it?
Head, I've squared it the same way you have, is because that, I mean, it's literally my income. The more I'm putting funny stuff online and people like it, I mean, I've got nothing else at the moment. So it's even more important that I'm making these funny videos and things, because when the theatres reopen in January, hopefully people will come back to the theatres and see me. And so if I'm not putting stuff out there, not just podcasts like this, but, you know, funny memes and photos and caning videos, these little rants I do, then I can't pay my bills next year. So that's the way I square it in my head before slipping into stuff that's obviously got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But here's a funny picture of a squirrel, which no one gives a shit about. And someone said something underneath that's offended me, and I can't wait to have an argument with them online. And then I fucking delete the whole post because I'm paranoid I was too aggressive in my response. And then I pretend I've got someone from my PR that runs my account, so they deleted it for me, but no one does it with me. The fucking circles I run around in.
It's like
a squirrel.
It's like I'm looking in a mirror, Russell. Like I completely identify with everything you're saying.
It's bad. I've not downloaded TikTok. I've avoided TikTok.
Oh my god! I've good for you.
Because I don't need anything else in my life. Instagram's
I'm
bad
too
enough.
Old.
If I can do a funny music old. Thing, I'll stick it on. Yeah, but you think that? I've seen a lot of people in their 30s and 40s on TikTok. I've got a rule. Yeah, there should be as you join TikTok, you have to put government ID in. And if your ID registers that you're over 30, you get a screen that says, fuck off, and it shuts down. You're just not allowed to join. I don't want to watch a hilarious couple making it work in lockdown by doing a funny dance, and it ends with them smashing their heads through a window and being injured.
I cannot watch one more couple do that. I just flip the switch, and then they're both like, and the fella's in a dress. It's like, it's done, mate. I've seen it. I'm not off.
Can we watch Tiger King? Really? Why don't you actually make a bandwagon out of wood and climb on it, you unoriginal fuck?
I'm going to take out that question about TikTok then. have you ever worn, well, in lockdown, have you worn your pyjamas for a whole day? No shower, no change.
Let's be real now. I don't really have pyjamas. I just do T-shirt and joggers. They are my pyjamas.
Mm.
That is what I'm in right now. No shoes. Jogging bottoms and T-shirt. My washing basket is taking 2 weeks to fill up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, I wore these socks in March. It's only because I'm running out of underwear and socks that I'm doing washing, but the washing basket is that full because it's just joggers and T-shirts. And if I have to do something like I have to do like a news thing like I did yesterday, I would simply put a suit jacket over this and go into the garden and film it. And hang it back up and stay in this and go to bed in this and cook in this. So it's really, I'm just not wearing anything. Yeah. My daughter literally doesn't wear anything. She just will not wear fucking clothes. She's nearly five now.
That's really not helping your whole, her ending up on a pool.
I know. She's like, I'm naked, watch me dance. I'm like, oh, please, please wear clothes. Please enjoy less attention.
That's the last time you say that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
I'm finding that I am spending a lot of time in, so there's a lot of like oversized T-shirts, there's a lot of baggy jumpers, there's a lot of hoodies in the wash. But because my only form of any sort of work at the moment is Zoom call related or Instagram live related, I'm not wearing any pants. I haven't worn pants for ages.
Are you using pants in the American sense or British sense? Do you mean pants. Trousers?
Yeah, I mean trousers.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got knickers on. Don't worry
That's
about
what
that.
I meant. Because pants to me still means underwear. I just can't. Can't call trousers pants.
Pants.
Like we're living in an episode of Friends. Pants to underwear.
It's also a Geordie thing. Trousers is just too much effort for us up there.
Do you always say pants in Geordie land? Oh, is that what?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
So we have a dinner at lunchtime.
Oh, they do that. That's up here as well. That blows my fucking mind. That is.
Is it?
Yeah, my father-in-law's like, I'll come over for dinner. I'm like, I'll see you at 6 p.m. Stop speaking. I'll see you at 6 p.m. I'll come over for my lunch at dinner time. You've just said lunch, clearly giving away you actually believe it's lunchtime. And then you get this one, what's a dinner lady then? That's their favourite argument.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so it's really confusing here. So you have dinner at lunchtime. Do you have like a sidewalk? Just walk on the sidewalk with your cell phone in your pants and that.
It's a path. Oh, do you call it?
Oh, yeah, path, yeah. So we're having my poor daughter's accent is like, you know the thing that lives in the basement in Goonies? That's what my daughter's accent is like. She goes upstairs to have a bath.
Oh, no. Nah.
Upstairs, mummy, to have a bath. Not upstairs.
Poor Ben.
weird, half and half.
What are you doing to our man?
I just, if I can just hang on to Bath and Path, I'll be happy.
Will you?
But, you know, it's Mummy and Russell. My name's Russell up here. Not Russell, but Russell. R-O-O-S-S-E-L-L. Russell. I don't mind the name Russell. It's just not fucking mine, is it? My survey says.
We always worry. Like, Erkan is Turkish Cypriot and from Southeast London, and I'm obviously 110% Geordie. So he asked me the other week, he's like, what will our children sound like? And I was like, fucked up, to answer you in like a short answer. So fucked up. I really
Does he
hope,
have any problems with how his name's pronounced then?
Traditionally, his name is Erjan. But Erjan, yeah. For me, it's always just, it's spelt with a C, so it's Erkan. So yeah, I suppose maybe if I asked him, he'd have a problem with it. But
how many times do you call him Erkani?
I feel like he gets Erk a lot. Erk.
Erk, 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 Erk.
Did-a-did-a, Erk, Erk. Yeah. Bless him. So have you managed to get drunk with your friends at all on a Zoom call, or have you just been too busy in love? No, time.
I'll be honest. Lindsay's doing that really well. So she's put something.
We do it well up north.
She's been better at doing regular things in the diary and keeping some sort of structure in her life. So every Friday, her thing is, it's friends and family mixed bingo. They start bingo at 7 p.m. and at 1 a.m. they've long forgotten the bingo and they're all still like, it's all about nine floated heads, all ratted. But Lindsay's very much mixes up. There's Pauline, who's 70, who used to be friends with her nana. There's her friend Georgia as well, and everyone's all muddled together. There's like 70-year-old aunties, 30-year-old friend. Everyone's all muddled in, and they all just get absolutely wankered. And me and my mates, we should have started something like that. We really should. And I suppose a little bit with me is, I think I've done like 8 tours back to back. And the novelty for me is just sitting on my own watching a film. It's not yet boring or depressing to sit on my own doing nothing. And I can't decide if that's terrible or brilliant. Yeah. But on that Friday, I think I can just sit here, Minna's asleep. I can just fucking watch Taken, pretend to be Liam Neeson. I will find you, drink a bottle of wine, get pissed off my head while a 70-year-old man machine guns his way around New York. It's fucking heaven. It's absolute heaven.
But everyone's got different ways of coping with this, and this is why, like, this podcast sort of came about. It's hard, it's uncomfortable, it's scary, but everybody's got different ways that they're managing to get through it. And obviously Lindsay's is keeping in touch with the people who mean something to her. It's being social, it's having some semblance of a routine. But there's no shame in it if yours is like actually just enjoying your own company. I bet it must be nice sometimes to turn off Russell Kane. Is it?
Yeah, it's. I feel like I've had a year of my retirement forced on me early when I can actually enjoy it. Because you know what stand-ups are like? We sort of go until we're Ken Dodd, basically. I mean, so many of us never retire. And to take a year now, particularly the timing for me, because Minna's 4, she starts school in September, so it's that last magic year she's not actually missing an education. And to get that last sort of baby-ish year with her. And to be forced to take it. And I'm brought up, I come from a council estate and then a council house and a council road. The guilt at not earning money is stamped into my core. As soon as I'm not earning money, I feel like a failure as a human being, or lazy, or on the social and all that stuff I grew up with around me. Anyone who's on the social is lazy. Whereas there's nothing I can do now. I have to sit here. I have to not earn money. And it's quite refreshing. And I know so many people are having such a negative experience with this and their skin, and I feel awful saying it, but I can only give you my experience. Just pure luck, pure fucking luck. I just finished a tour and it had paid out, or I too would have financial issues. But my tour had just paid out, and I've got 6-7 months to just stop. I've been running around like that for a decade, TV, podcast, radio, tour. I do 2 hours every night, bang, bang, bang. And it's been nice just to stop. And that for me is the novelty. Hanging out with my daughter and my wife, and then just watching shit film. I've got the Roma, that Roma, the Oscar winning black and white tear jerking drama, which is about this Cleano. That film was made for me and my love of arty film. I've not watched that. I've not watched anything like it. I watched Predator 2, Predator again, Taken 2, Alien.
All the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that's all it. Yeah, I have. I watched the new one with The Rock. And I'm just like, that's what I want to watch. I don't want to be ashamed to admit.
Russell, I'm going to have to stop you there. I forgot how much you could talk. I thought the Corona quiz would be quite short, but between me and you, we are now going to have to roll into part two. So why don't you guys join us after the break, where we'll be having the rest of the Corona quiz and Russell's take on mental health. And we're also going to be joined by my amazing life coach, Bill. So loads of not-to-miss moments, basically, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.